Psalm 46 tonight is where we're going to be for our Bible study. And when you have found your place there in Psalm 46, I would invite your attention. And we'll cover pretty much the entire chapter, but there's one verse in particular I want us to focus on tonight from Psalm 46, and that is verse number 10. Psalm 46 and verse number 10. The Bible says this: "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." It's from that first part of the verse there in verse number 10. "Be still and know that I am God," that I'd like to look at tonight with this simple thought: just be still and know. Be still and know. You know, I was joking a little bit earlier before the service started, and it seems like sometimes when you're preparing a lesson or a message or a Bible study or whatever the case may be, it's almost as if the Lord is Himself speaking to you. And it's been a busy week. In fact, this morning I was taking Mandy to work, or this afternoon she had to be in at 1 o'clock, and we left about 12:45, so plenty of time to get her to work and, you know, make sure she was there on time. But as I'm driving, I'm down there, at about Mohawk Street, and I go and I put on my turn signal, and I look at my hand, and well, in the busyness of trying to get out, I forgot my wedding ring this afternoon. And I told Mandy, I said, "I forgot my wedding ring," and I was kicking myself for it, and she said, "It's fine, I know you're married." And I said, "I know you know I'm married." And she said, "Don't worry, I know you're not going to go fooling around on me." And I thought, well, that's not the point. I feel naked without my ring. And she said, you know, it was making me feel better. She said, "Oh, it's just a ring." I said, it's not just a ring. And I haven't had a chance to go home yet to get it. So, but yeah, all day, you get used to the feeling and just, you know, it being there and of what it represents and what it symbolizes. So didn't have my, went out of the house without my ring. But that about summed up my week this week. Sunday night in the Monday morning, Mandy got up to go to the restroom or go to the bathroom, and comes back into the room and pitch black, and she had forgot her glasses on her nightstand, so she can't really see without her glasses. And so she comes back into the room, and in our room, while we're sleeping, there was a bat flying around while we were sleeping. And so we get the bright idea, okay, go down. And if you've ever been in the house, you know how the upstairs is laid out. Right there at the beginning of the steps, there's that window. So we went, you know, down there. We opened the window, and we thought, okay, we'll do that. Well, we forgot to shut the bedroom door. So as we're opening the window, the bat flies from the bedroom and flies right at us. Now, you think it would go out the window. It did not go out the window. It went down the stairs and into the kitchen, and it was all downstairs. So we go downstairs, and, you know, two short people trying to catch a bat that's, you know, high up. It couldn't be done. So, you know what? We just left the bat go. We went upstairs, and we shut the door to the room. We put a little, and how's this for irony? Out of our dresser, we pulled out a Batman blanket. A Batman blanket, and we put it along the bottom of the door, along the crack of the door. So, you know, because a bat is like a mouse. If it can get its head in, it can get in. So we made sure the seals were all sealed up. So no way a bat was getting in that room that night with the door closed. We weren't going to have it. So we wake up the next morning, and we think, okay, surely it's daytime. The bat is gone. It's went back to wherever it's going to be. And so it was Monday because I had an appointment up at the hospital Monday. And so Monday morning, I'm upstairs getting ready for the doctor's appointment. Mandy had to be in at 10:30. My appointment was at 10:45. And so all of a sudden, she starts calling me on my phone from downstairs. And I'm thinking, why doesn't she just call up to me? And so I answer and I say, well, what? And she says, the bat's in the kitchen. And sure enough, the bat, he was on one of the cabinets and he was sleeping. And I said, well, just get the net, catch it, and take it out the door. That didn't work. The bat was too small, or the holes of the net, it was too big. And so we didn't have a tennis racket. We didn't, you know, we had a broom, but, and so we called Joe Tim. I say, Joe, can you come over and catch this bat? You know, he's a little bit taller than us, and he can reach some places we can't. And so so he gets over there. The bat's gone by the time he gets there. So to this day, we don't know where the bat is. So it's either somewhere in the house or it finally flew the coop or something. But that was our Monday. And plus a doctor's appointment, plus other things that we had to do on Monday. Tuesday comes, or Monday night comes, and we had to do treatment. Well, we still can't get access, so we're having problems with our access, and so we can't. So Tuesday they call, they say, okay, you're going to go in the vascular. They're going to do an ultrasound because the fistula, it was pulling clots or whatever. And and they say, now don't eat anything, because there's a chance you could have to go into surgery, and if we can't get the fistula cleaned out, or there's nothing wrong with the fistula, well, then you're going to need the catheter, and they would have to put the catheter in the neck, near the heart, and for the life of me, I did not want that, because, you know, as we said earlier, that's the most dangerous of the three things. So we go up to the dialysis unit on Tuesday, and they say, all right, we're going to try one more time. And if it doesn't work this time, you're going to need the catheter. Okay. So they try one more time. And sure enough, praise the Lord, they're able to get access, do treatment. Last night, do treatment. Everything was fine there. But then Tuesday night, we get done with dialysis. And at about 5 o'clock, we go home. We let Mojo outside. We check the mail. We scarf down something to eat real quick, and then by 5:30 we're on the road to Binghamton for the church activity, seeing the forge there in Binghamton. And then, you know, Tuesday night, you think, okay, you'd be tired and be able to go right to sleep when you came home. You'd think so, but you'd think wrong. So Tuesday night, I didn't get to sleep till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And so Wednesday, slept in a little bit. Finally got up about the time Mandy went to work, and about 8 o'clock or so, and started doing my work and some other things that had to be done. And so, but as I'm doing my work and knowing we had to do a treatment, it's like, okay, there's no way we're going to be able to get all this done and still make it in time for church Wednesday night. And so I say all that to say this: as I was preparing the Bible study and the message for tonight, this was the verse that just kept still running through my mind. Be still and know that I am God. And you know, sometimes when life gets busy, we need that reminder to just be able to take some time, take a breath, be still, and remember that with everything that happens, that, you know, all of those things that happened this week, they were outside of our control. We couldn't control them. But there was one that could control them, and that was God. And so sometimes we just need this reminder that from time to time, we just need to be still and know that he is God. So here in Psalm 46, this, of course, is, and there in your Bible, you might see it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a son or a song, excuse me, upon Alamoth. And so this psalm, it's introduced as that, and this is dealing again with the chief musician, likely the music director of the tabernacle, and the sons of Korah. And those, the sons of Korah, they were a division. They were a subsect of the Levites. They were assigned to be a tabernacle choir. And then you have that word there, Alamoth, which is really just a word that derives from Alama, which is the Hebrew word for virgin. And so the thought here is this is a psalm dealing with young women, perhaps sopranos, and they were daughters of the sons of Korah, and they sang as a woman's chorus. And now, you might recognize this entire psalm. In fact, let's look at it there, Psalm 46. And notice there, if you would, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms removed, he uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, you might recognize this psalm. This was the psalm that was the basis for Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Now, when you think about when this psalm was written and the historical background, this psalm was written to signify and to give accounts of and really to celebrate God's victories, not just one victory, but many victories, God's victories over the enemy. And you'll notice several times in Psalm 46 that there are personal pronouns used, such as our or we or us. And so what Psalm 46 really is that it's a song of encouragement. It's a song of worship. And the emphasis in this psalm is on the presence of the Lord with his people. And I'm thankful tonight that if we're his people, God is always present with us. God never leaves his people alone. If you belong to him tonight, he is always with you. And if he belongs to you, you are always with him tonight. And so the psalm here focuses on that and the difference that that makes when we trust him in the changes and difficulties of life. Again, for us at least personally this week, it was a busy week. It was a hectic week. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. Oh, and then I went to get a haircut today as I was running my errands. And I got in the car, turned it on, and driving home from Binghamton Wednesday night, Mandy says to me, does it look like our lights are a little dim? I said, oh, no, it's just exceptionally dark tonight. The moon's not out. It's just darker than usual tonight. Not knowing if I was talking true or not, I just said it because it sounded good. You know, you ever do that? You say something because it sounds good? Well, that was me Tuesday night. Oh, yeah, it's just darker than usual. Okay. And so sure enough, I turned the car on today, and my daytime running lights came on. The passenger side came on. But then I noticed the driver's side light did not come on. So I try all my controls, and sure enough, the driver's side light is dead. It's out. So Tuesday night, we were coming home. We didn't have a driver's side light. But you know what? Praise the Lord. The Lord kept us safe even through that. But again, busyness, hectic week, you know, could go wrong. It does go wrong. And listen, we all go through weeks like that. We all go through days like that where it seems like, you know, Murphy's Law. If it could go wrong, it does go wrong. But for the child of God, we have this promise. We have this assurance from God that He is with us and we are with Him. And the psalm here is focusing on the Lord and what He is to His trusting people. And so the psalm here, 11 verses, and it's broken down for us into three scenes. Now, for our purposes, verses 8 through 11, that's what we're focusing on, especially verse number 10. And this is the third of the three scenes. And this third scene is on the fields that are surrounding Jerusalem, where the Assyrian soldiers are laying dead. We see that their weapons and their equipment, they're scattered, they're broken. But what's interesting about this is that even though they're dead, even though their weapons and their equipment are scattered and broken, there had been no battle. There had been no battle. But the angel of the Lord left this evidence to encourage the faith of the people. Notice what he says there in verse number 8. He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth." And so what the psalmist was trying to get the people to see is that it was the Lord who defeated the enemies. It was the Lord who disarmed the enemies. It was the Lord who destroyed their weapons, and they could attack no more. And here's the truth. Here's the encouragement for us tonight. There are going to come times in our life when there comes things that come up against us, and for however hard we try, we just cannot seem to gain victory over them. We just cannot seem to defeat them, but that's where God comes in. That's where the Lord comes in. And those things that we cannot get victory over, those things that we cannot defeat, the Lord can get the victory over them. The Lord can defeat them. The Lord can disarm them. And that is kind of the truth that he is trying to get here and get forth here tonight. But then notice again verse number 10, because that's what we want to focus on here tonight as we get ready to close this thought tonight. He says here, the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." That phrase, "be still," literally means take your hands off. It means relax. You know, we like, and sometimes to our detriment, we like to be a very hands-on people, don't we? We like to be a people that we manage our own lives, we manage our own affairs. But listen, like, God is still God, and we are but His servants. And because Hezekiah and his leaders allowed God to be God, God delivered them from their enemies. That was the way King Hezekiah, by the way, had prayed over in 2 Kings. Look there, if you would, 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19 tonight. Second Kings chapter 19. And notice there, if you would, verse number 19. Second Kings 19:19. The Bible says, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." You see, tonight the Lord calls himself the God of Jacob. And you know, we can remember, if we remember our Bibles, just how often God got in the, or how often Jacob got into trouble. Because he got his hands on circumstances and he tried to play God. You know, there's a time to obey God and act. But until then, we had better, you know, take our hands off and allow him to work in his own time and his own way. We think about it this way tonight. If we take his promises by faith with both hands, then you know what? We won't be able to meddle. But so oftentimes we meddle and we get involved, and oftentimes what happens, we get involved thinking we're going to make things better, but instead of making them better, we make them worse. And God is trying to get us to understand from this verse, listen, I'm God, I know what I'm doing. And that is hard for us to understand sometimes. That's hard for us to accept sometimes. And you know, tonight, God sometimes allows us to get in the tight places, so to speak, so that our faith will grow and he will be exalted. Look, if you would, Psalm 47. Psalm 47, because this next psalm, Psalm 47, talks about the exaltation of God in all the earth. Psalm 47, verse 9, the Bible says, "The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God, for he is greatly exalted." And the same psalmist who wrote Psalm 47 is the same psalmist who wrote Psalm 46, Hezekiah. You know, oftentimes, and you know, unfortunately, it's to our detriment, people like to boast, and I'm as guilty of it as the next person, but we like to boast of the great things that we have done without ever giving credit to God for anything. Not the strength he gives us, not the breath he gives us. And freely so, by the way, he freely gives us that strength. He freely gives us that breath. And listen tonight, we have to get into the mindset that anything we accomplish, it's not because of us. It's because of him. It's because of the Lord tonight. Listen, any success he allows me to see as a pastor, it's not because of me. Trust me. It's not because of me. It's because of him. Souls that we see saved, soul or people we see baptized, or people we see added to the church, or people that you know, get help or blessings or comfort. Listen, it's not because of me. It's not because of necessarily anybody within the church, but it's because of the Lord. It's because of God. And it's because we realize that we need to let him work through us to be that blessing, to be that encouragement. You know, we go to work and or we get a lot of money and we say, "Well, look at all the money I've gotten." Well, you didn't get anything. God gave you that. The Lord gave you that. He gave you that talent, that ability. But one day, that's going to change. Isaiah 2:11, the Bible says, "The lofty looks of a man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." I want you to realize tonight, there will be times of trouble. They will come. But in those times, we're remembered to be quiet. And remember that God is still on his throne. God is still in control. That is true now. It was true then. And when those days come in the future, it will be true then. The Bible here says, the rest of verse number 10, he says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. When we stop and allow God to be God, then he will be exalted from one end of the earth to the other. He will be exalted amongst every Gentile nation upon the earth. You see, the worship of Jehovah God, it's going to be universal in that day. That those words translated as be still has the, again, the idea, relax. You see, though Israel will witness the wrath of God in that day, God says, relax and remember that I am still God. The application remains to this day. Nothing has changed. Though trouble may come, rather than fret and worry, God in effect says, relax and remember that I am God. That I am still God. And then the psalm concludes. Notice how it concludes there, verse number 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you. God has always been and always will be with his people. He always will be a refuge for us. When the storms of life come, you'll always have a refuge in God. I don't know who made this or who came up with it, but I thought it was a good way to end tonight. It's a breakdown of this particular verse. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Here it is. Be still. You know what that means? It means stop talking. It means switch off your phone. Stop commenting. Listen. Stop arguing. Stop questioning. Stop moaning. That's what be still means. And know. That means stop doubting. That means be sure. Have faith. That means there's no, you know, sometimes we go to a doctor. We don't like what the doctor says. We go get a second opinion. God says be still and know. You know what that means? It means there's no second opinions needed. And then the final portion, that I am God. You know what that means? It means this. God is almighty. God is in control. God is love. God is king. God is my hope, my rock, and my fortress. God is ever present, a help in times of trouble. God is my father. God is my shepherd. He will lead me, nourish me, protect me, and restore me. Be still and know that I am God. You know, you might be here tonight. You might have had the quietest week you've ever had. I hope you did. I hope it wasn't a hectic, crazy, stressful week. But guess what? When the crazy, hectic, stressful weeks come, you can be still and know that he is God. That he is still in control. That he is still on the throne. That he is still your refuge, and that he is still with you, and you are still with him. And you can relax, knowing that he has it in control. Let's pray.